Previously on the Adventure Zone Ethersea.
Vivo la main?
It's Zooks.
But that is me, yes, Amber Gray.
You all have 48 hours to acquire a ship.
We already got something needs doing.
All right, my name's Guthrie. I'm an archaeologist. I was part of a crew that mutinied on my last job, and I haven't had a chance to hire a new team, but there's this opportunity. There's an old gallery that's from an old hominine citadel, and it just fell through the Halocline. We get there. I you know, recover what I can from the gallery, and I get back. We may have a pirate thing or two, but I can't sail this big, big, awesome ship by myself, so let's roll out.
Amber, I think we both agree that I don't think this is his boat, but it is our boat, and we do need this money. We are doing this job, right?
Why did Mona send you if you all can't pilot a ship? Like, what are you even fucking doing? As he's saying that, you see a hatch open up in the ceiling of the bridge behind him, and from it, a cube made out of what appears to be just bright white hard light drops down, and then it flashes red a few times, and then it starts spinning violently, and then it launches with tremendous force in your direction. Y'all got cube problems. Y'all got attack cube problems.
Oh, wait, I know this one. Griffin, roll to gleam.
Roll to... Oh, man.
Gleam cube.
That's cute. Actually, why don't the three of you roll initiative? Because you're being attacked
right in the fucking cube?
A sentient glowing cube.
Oh, yeah, baby. That's an 18 plus 1. 19. 19 total.
Wait, what do you mean total?
Well, I rolled an 18 plus 1.
Oh, initiative. Gotcha. Okay.
What do I mean?
Total?
Wait, hold on, Dad. Did you mean what does the word total mean?
I ain't good at my sums.
Oh, boy.
No, I got a 9.
And Amber?
And just logging in. To my sheet.
Have we leveled
I've
up
activated,
yet?
I've activated the... interface, as you say, and here comes a roll. I've gotten an 8 plus 2, 10.
10. Fantastic. Okay. To answer your question, Dad, no, you haven't leveled up. It's been one episode. chill out. Okay. So we are going to start with Divo Le Mans. You are all standing sort of in the doorway to the bridge. Guthrie has his back to this cube that is it's like two feet tall, 2 feet wide, but it is rotating, at a terrible speed and sort of soaring toward you, but you get the first action here, Devo.
Is it like talking? Does it seem sentient?
Why don't you roll an Arcana check for me?
Excellent. I'm good at that.
This is just seeing what you know, so this won't be your action.
As an 18 plus 4, 22.
Dang.
Okay, so you, Devo, we kind of covered in the last episode, you guys don't have extensive shipboard experience, but you know enough about sort of magic stuff, and especially about hard light stuff, which is kind of the purview of the parish, to know that this is a sprite. And sprites are crystal clear, refreshing on a hot summer day. Fucking forget it.
Uh-huh.
Sprites are sort of artificial, very, very, very limited artificial intelligent constructs that often are used for very simple tasks, specifically aboard ships. Okay. So the way that this sort of dropped down from the ceiling when you all entered the bridge and sort of flashed red and now is attacking you, you assume it is a security sprite.
Okay, great.
But you also know enough about Hardlight to know that it is hard, and if this thing like crashes into you, it will be like a, you know, somebody just threw a metal box into your torso. It's going to hurt.
Okay, then D.Va is going to do a spritz of the old prestige spray. Okay.
What are you doing?
And close his eyes, and his lips begin to barely move. And you do not hear those around him, but the sprite does. He's going to hear, as he casts Dissonant Whispers.
Okay.
Or attempts to.
Let's see. Tell us all about Dissonant Whispers.
So you're going to need to make a wisdom saving throw.
Okay. Not this thing's strong suit.
That was my hope.
Yeah, that is a 9.
Okay, yeah, you're going to fail. So you're going to take 3d6 damage.
Okay.
Jesus. And you are going to move as far as its speed allows away from me.
Okay. Roll that damage. Oh, boy.
Okay, so 4, 5, 6. That's 15 points of damage.
Oh, my God. What an incredible damage roll.
Thank you. I am also going to use my Bardic Inspiration on Amber. That is going to grant her an extra 1d6. You can use that to add it to one ability check, attack roll, or saving throw. This can be added after seeing the roll, but before knowing the outcome.
Cool. That is
appreciate that.
Great news. But before Amber can
go. And then for my move, I'm going to duck behind Zooks.
Okay.
Because I am just a waif of a lad.
Sure, just a sweet little tissue paper doll.
Yes.
Okay, next up actually is the security sprite. Your attack did psychic damage, which I don't know how to resolve that for a thing that doesn't have a brain. So it's like its programming got kind of weird. So it definitely takes kind of a strange arc from where it was flying at the three of you. And it is going to sail over Guthrie's shoulder. And because of this weird arc, it is coming towards Zooks. And it's simply just like while rotating, it tries to crash into you, right into your chest, Zooks. And does a 14 hit your AC?
No.
Oh, wow. Okay. Then it sails into your chest and you are able to kind of just like grab it and push it away and not take the brunt of this damage. But as it sails away, it makes a second attack flying towards Amber. Now it's just kind of ping-ponging around the room. Amber, same thing. It's just going to try to come crashing down on your head.
Okay.
That's better. 18 hit your AC.
It does indeed.
Okay. While swirling around, crashes into your head for 3 points of bludgeoning damage. And it goes soaring away from you after that. And next, you are up, Amber.
I'm going to punch it.
Okay. So monks have... Punching and kicking. Headbutting. But I believe you have some stuff available to you like from level one, because monks are able to attack a bonus time, if I'm not mistaken.
I'm going to punch it twice.
All right. Ooh. Let's see what you got. Yeah.
Wait, punch and a kick.
Oh, shit. All right.
The classic cube combo.
We love it.
All right, here we go. Here comes an attack. The first attack. Now, do I get my bonus whether or not? No, just if I make it, the attack. It doesn't need to hit for me to get my bonus, right?
Right.
Okay. First attack is a 8. Probably not, right?
No, that does not hit the sprite.
Wait, I get to add a d6 to that, right?
Oh, yeah.
If you'd like, yeah.
It's a waste, isn't it?
Let me think.
It's a waste.
It would be,
how tough does this thing look for a cube? Of cubes I've seen.
It is statistically quite improbable that you could make that work. I would save your inspiration.
Would you say like a 1 out of 6 chance?
Maybe like a 1 out of 6 chance that it would hit.
Not to get too. Yeah, I'm going to save it for this next roll that is a bonus unarmed strike, and that is so much better. It's a 13. Now I will add that D6.
Yeah, go ahead and add that D6. A 13 does not quite hit.
Plus 6.
Oh, there, a 19.
Yeah, there it is.
That's a
19.
That's a big one. Yeah, was this the punch or the kick that connected?
That, okay, the punch misses, right?
Right.
And she's like, damn it. And then it turns and is like, ha 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 ha. I imagine I it like here, the sprite from Tron. You know
right,
what I mean?
Yeah.
Yes. No. So then it's like trying to be all cool, and then I kick it right in its face. The face side?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, the thing about a cube is it's got six faces.
The cube has six faces. The sequel has the mirror has two faces.
Yep.
That's a 5 of damage.
Ooh, that's nice. Okay, this thing is now starting to slow its rotation, and it is sort of flying around the room even more erratically. Guthrie is up next. Guthrie is going to take a step back, and he's going to say, you all take care of this, and he shuts the door to the bridge.
Huh.
And that is his... incredibly brave.
Is this aboard the ship? Sorry, it's been a
couple weeks. Yeah, you all are aboard the ship. You were just outside the bridge. Guthrie sort of walked in there before. So now
the one that he kind of claimed was his ship.
Yeah, it's definitely his ship. So that just leaves Zooks.
Oh, Zooks is going to shoot it with his crossbow. Yeah.
All right, Zooks. The first of what I assume will be many crossbow shots.
Unless he breaks his crossbow, he gets a critical failure and it breaks.
Why?
No, I think if he gets a critical failure, he shoots and the arrow bounces off the wall and shoots him in his own coral butt.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Which is
all right.
An incredibly important body part for Bynar. Yeah.
Okay, let's see. First I have to roll to see if I hit it, correct?
Correct.
And that would be a 6 plus 5, that's an 11.
That is unfortunately not good enough to hit. The Bardic Inspiration is that something that I guess if you had to do it before battle, you could kind of juice everybody up, but you can't.
Well,
do
and
it
I
as
can
a
only
reaction.
Do it one at a time,
right?
It's,
okay.
Yeah.
So unfortunately, your bolt goes flying out of the crossbow, and this cube is still spinning fast enough to just kind of like glance it off its side. And
darn!
It falls to the floor, bringing us back up to the top of the order, Devo.
So Devo looks at the cube in its six faces and says, "You are a very stupid cube and nobody likes you very much. And you should be embarrassed because of who you are." And cast Vicious Mockery.
Yeah, I'll say.
And I'm sorry, Wisdom Saving Throw.
This is just a cantrip, correct?
Correct.
Well, say, I think for cantrips, we can say, like, they don't require much energy, so it's just like the salt in your body.
Yeah, this
you don't
is
have
just
to like
residual.
Juice
yeah,
it. Let's see. That's a 12.
That does not. My wisdom is a 13, or that's my spell save 13.
Okay.
So you're going to take 1d4 of damage, which is 1. You have disadvantage on your next attack roll.
Okay. Which is not going to happen because this thing only had one hit point left.
Ah, I embarrassed it to death.
Yeah, this thing said, "Oh, geez, I am.
Thanks a lot.
I did my best." And then the light disappears, and now it's just like a sad little gray box. With some smoke pouring out of it, and it falls to the ground, and it explodes, but not in, like, even a big, cool, dangerous way. It explodes in a really stupid way. and you all won your first battle. You hear Guthrie from behind the door in the bridge say, "Is it done? Did you finish?"
Yeah, thanks for all the help, friend.
He opens the door to the bridge and peeks out. He says, "Yeah, I mean, if I could have done stuff like this myself, I wouldn't have needed a crew, but it looks like you all got it handled."
Should we assume that this is not your ship?
What are you talking about?
Well, why would a security system attack us and you if this is your ship?
He said, "I told you, my last crew, they mutinied during our last mission, and I don't know, they have it out for me. They must have set a trap."
I'm going to roll insight.
Okay.
That's a 16 plus 4, 20.
That was a lie. He has just told a major fibberooski to you.
Devo does a little spritz and is going to cast Charm Person. So you are going to make a wisdom saving throw.
Okay.
As Guthrie.
I think for these kinds of saving throws, I'll make them public.
Okay.
That is a 12 plus 3, 15.
Ah, he passes. He has not been charmed.
Did you just try to charm person me?
Yes, because you are lying to us, and I do not trust you. And so here is the deal. Now that you know I was trying to charm you, Zooks, my very large coral friend here, can shoot you with his... No, wait, there's a part two. With his crossbow.
Okay.
And we can get off the ship and think of something else. Or you could tell us the truth.
He said, fine, I'll tell you the truth, but come in here, please. And he walks into the bridge and starts flipping some switches, turning stuff on, getting a little pre-launch procedure going. And he said, fine, this isn't my ship. It's my stepdad's ship. And he doesn't know that I'm using it, but I wasn't lying about the job. There really is a gallery out there that has fallen through the Halocline, and it's got some works by the great masters in it. If we can find it and get that stuff back here, I'll make sure that Mona gets you your commission, and I'll give you some of the earnings too, okay? I'm sorry I lied. It's just my stepdad's kind of a hard ass, and I didn't want him to get pissed off at me.
Oh, you should have just said this.
Yeah. Sorry. I'm not a people person.
Amber, what are you thinking?
Hey, I understand why you would lie. I guess. I don't know. I don't want to kill anybody today.
Oh.
I understand, Dukes, but there's not a whole lot of people running around anymore, and I don't much want to spill blood if we could avoid it.
Does this make sense?
Not even kneecapping? I mean, okay. No,
I don't really have. I don't really have blood or kneecaps, for what it's worth. And boy, you're a really angry one, aren't you, pal?
Well, no, no, not in the least bit. I mean, although I would have cause to. I mean, so far you've lied to us and abandoned us to almost be killed by a cube. But hey, I'm a very forgiving creature.
I would say with Zooks, it is a matter of when all you have is a hammer. He has a crossbow, and sure. So everything is a target. Yes?
Well, that might come in handy, depending on how this job goes. So he flips over a couple more switches, and you hear the engine of this huge, essentially turbo yacht sort of come to life. And he says, all right, so we were interrupted earlier. Does anyone even know sort of the base? Does anybody have their learner's permit for ship operation? Anybody want to take a swing at the wheel here?
I will drive if no... Amber, want to?
No, please. By all means.
I would try. It seems like fun. I've never driven before. But there's a first time for everything, and I am happy to give it a shot, huh?
He sighs, and he says, okay, yeah. Sit down. You two, check out the ship. Familiarize yourself with the facilities, the different decks. And because if we have to get into some undersea fisticuffs or shipsticuffs, then y'all are going to need to know where the guns are. So
shipsticuffs sounds like somebody fighting a boat. Fighting a boat. And I'm into that.
We might get to that point at some point. Okay, Guthrie sits you down at the wheel. I don't know if it's a wheel. We haven't really talked about what the control apparatus for a ship like this is.
Well, it wouldn't be a wheel, right? Because we're not only dealing with forward and backward, left and right, right?
Yeah.
Because we're in water, we're going up and down.
It's probably more akin to a flight, like, control stick situation.
Okay, but you would need... All right.
But there's a lever, too. There's a lever for upsies and downsies. And that's...
I think it's a... What if it's a sphere?
Ooh, a sphere
is good.
Like
a sphere that's sort of
floating.
Golden tee, like a golden tee,
like
game.
A golden tee golf machine.
No, it's like it's like imagine that, but if you could reach underneath it too, so it's like in three dimensions, like you can move the sphere up and down and rotate the sphere.
That's good,
and also like move it up and down. It's just sort of like suspended magnetically,
right,
in a circle, and you reach your hand in the circle, and you could turn it. Or like move it up or tea. Down.
Like a golden tea, like a futuristic golden tea with magic.
Yeah, in the future, future golf is the only sport, and
right.
Golden platinum tea is the only future arcade game.
Fine, fair.
And one of the stars of Law & Order.
That's something. Okay. Diva, why don't you just make an intelligence check for me?
How intelligent is Devo? Oh, not bad. That is an 11 total.
11 total? Okay, you understand enough to, you feel like you get it. You feel like you kind of understand what's going on here. And yeah. The rest of you are checking out the ship, and Guthrie says, let's get a move on, and we can sort of talk things through as we go. And he leans over you, Devo, and presses down on the sphere, and for the first time, you all sink down below spot J117, down below the gills, and into the seemingly infinite expanse of the Aether Sea.
Since the dawn of time, screenwriters have taken months to craft their stories. But now, three Hollywood professionals shall attempt the impossible. Break a story in 1 hour.
That's right. Here on Storybreak, I, Freddie Wong,
Matt Arnold,
and Will Campos,
the creators behind award-winning shows like Video Game High School,
have 1 hour to turn a humble idea into an awesome movie.
Now, an awesome movie starts with an awesome title.
I chose The Billionaire's Marriage Valley.
Mine was Christmas Pregnant Paradise.
Okay, next we need a protagonist.
So I've heard Wario best described as Libertarian Mario.
And of course, every great movie needs a stellar pitch.
In order to get to heaven, sometimes you gotta raise a little hell.
That's the tagline!
Check out Storybreak every week on MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Pretty sweet, huh?
Who are you talking to?
You guys!
You don't ever quite get used to about being out in it. At least I don't.
I've never been in it, so I cannot speak to this, but so far it is beautiful, and also my anus is very tight.
You should sit down. Mm. If you're not used to this, it's going to get a little uncomfortable for you.
In what way? This is foreboding? What could this possibly mean?
I feel like if you have never been out, if he has never been outside of the stationary bases, this would be beyond disorienting.
That's true, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like motion, this kind of motion would not be, if he's literally never been in a ship before and he's lived his entire life in the base, like I feel like this would be very disorienting.
Yeah, for sure. It's the
maybe
first time experiencing.
Saving throw.
Yeah. Yeah, sure. Everybody, you know what? Everybody make a constitution. You
not
know.
Amber. She doesn't have to. That's why I came up with it.
I'd say, Amber, you have advantage.
Advantage.
Zooks,
fair.
Zooks, you don't have to roll at all. I feel like Zooks was born in the ocean.
And also doesn't have an inner ear to,
yeah, exactly.
to have equilibrium issues.
Good point. Okay.
All right. So, Amber.
What check?
Constitution save. Check. Well, Diva rolled a 15. Yeah, I would say.
Yeah, I got a 14 plus one, 15.
Oh, no.
Oh, that's a critical failure, but you do have advantage, Amber. An 8.
Oh God,
wow.
It's been too long. It's been too long since I've done this. I'm not feeling great.
Amber talks mad shit, but Devo seems to be okay as he takes over the sphere and starts to pilot the ship. And Amber, you start to feel a little nauseous.
Yeah, do we have any of those patches on board? Could they
scopolamine?
You might. You all haven't really the two other members of the crew. You all haven't exactly checked things out. So
I was gonna say, yeah. Once this sort of nausea passes, I want to take a lap around the ship, kind of get my bearings.
Let me ask you this: do we have any? Do they have any way to communicate with each other?
Yeah, we have cell phones.
Well, when you're on the ship, just assume you can speak to anybody else on the ship at any time. The communications are
system.
Yeah, and then there's also most ships are also equipped with a tone wheel that's like long distance, able to communicate with a broadcast station in Founder's Wake or with other ships that sort of accept the hail. But if you guys are on the same ship, you can talk to each other.
The reason I'm asking is there a way that Devo can see? I mean, is there like a viewport? Is there a screen of some kind?
Yeah. If you're at the wheel, you can see in front of you. Every ship has a sensor. We will cover sort of ship mechanics as we go. I don't want to just dump a bunch of explanations, but all ships are equipped with a sensor, which is responsible for basically like targeting and sighting and, just being able to view outside of the ship. So,
and there's no like automatic pilot or anything like that. It's got to be the helm has to be manned at all time.
I mean, that technology probably exists, but it is not on this ship.
Okay.
So as you all walk around, like, this ship is as sort of nice as you would expect it to be. The crew quarters here are very posh. And the kitchen is stocked with copious rations, like, and the good stuff too. There's definitely a sliding scale there, and this is on the higher end. There's the other sort of usual stuff. There's an engine room. There's a cargo hold, which is fairly empty. There's mostly gear for sort of repair and upkeep for the ship here. Not any other sort of cargo, but. Yeah, it is a well-stocked ship. The gunnery deck has like a lot of stuff on it. It is well outfitted for defense. You find a recall pod, which is basically like an automated escape pod that will automatically pilot itself back to Founder's Wake after it is launched out. There's a salvage claw for whatever you might need a salvage claw for out in the ocean. It is a fancy little vessel. Definitely nicer than the stuff you were looking up back at Mona's Hall. Devo's piloting. Zooks, where do you think you're hanging out?
I think Zooks is going down to the belly of the ship, the bottom of the ship.
Okay.
To see if there's a moon pool.
Mm.
Zooks has to
refresh himself.
He has to get into, submerge himself in the actual waters of the ocean. And if there's a moon pool, he'd be able to do that without, being swept away.
He could dip his toes in.
Yeah, there is. In fact, one of the things that this ship is equipped with, if you take a look at the sheet that I shared with all of you, is permeable barriers. So all of the sort of like entrances and exits to this ship have this sort of energy barrier that allows creatures and objects to pass through, but it keeps ether sea water out. But you can sort of dip down into it.
I think he could probably hold on to the edge, or maybe there's a bar or something, to kind of dunk himself in. And I would say that he probably has some form of propulsion in the water, but it certainly is not going to be able to keep up.
No.
Deborah.
This Dreams of Deborah is sailing like a beautiful bird or fish. A beautiful fish.
Okay.
A dolphin?
So I think that's what he does. And
okay.
And would this craft, did you say that there were like maybe submersibles, small one, two man?
No, there's no sort of individual craft here. There's no vapor suits to speak of. What you're in is basically like the hatch underneath the salvage claw down in the cargo bay. As you like come up from one of these sort of like splashes, Guthrie is there waiting for you, and he says, "How you doing? How you doing there, bud?"
I feel much better, much much more refreshed. Much more kind of laid back. I get a little antsy when I've been out of the water for too long.
Yeah, I mean, you don't want to bleach.
My steel armor has to kind of, you know, refill and, you know, pump water around in me. So, yeah, I needed that. Thank you so much. And I'm sorry I was a little brusque earlier.
Yeah, I wanted to talk to you about that. I can tell you're kind of new, and I know how tough it can be when you're new. So, not for nothing, but you may want to rethink your strategy of sticking a crossbow in everyone's faces that you meet, especially when you're in the city, because the chaperones do not look too highly on that kind of behavior.
Oh, okay. Good to know. I appreciate your constructive criticism. That's helping me. That's going to help me, you know, interact with other beings. I really do appreciate it. I'll try to do better.
It is what it is. It's tough. Impulse control, especially right after you amalgamate, it's the steep learning curve. But
yeah, and you know, and to be honest, you did kind of, you know, mess with us a little bit. I mean, you were kind of dishonest and you know, kind of hung us out to dry with the whole running away thing. I understand what you said, you know, about if you, you know, could do all this, you'd have a crew, but you know, I think that kind of rubbed me the wrong way. So, but I'm good.
He smiles and he says, or, you know, whatever the Brynar equivalent is. And he says, yeah, it's a balance working with a crew and also watching out for number one. But
I enter at this point. Can I enter?
Yes.
The scene? What's amalgamate?
Oh,
I heard y'all talking. What's amalgamate?
Sure. So, you know, the Einar, their spirits have to combine and to you know, pilot one of these beautiful babies. And he sort of holds up his arm in front of him and says,
You mean the ship?
No, our bodies, our coral frames. Yeah.
That's a pretty trippy way of thinking about it, pilot in your body.
Yeah.
I haven't really thought about it before. I guess we all are, aren't we?
Oh, careful. Okay, so there's like...
God, yeah, I'm freaking out.
Yeah, there's a sort of existential dread that comes along with this process that sort of mortals are not necessarily ready to surf that particular wave.
Yeah, I'm gonna...
Oh, my God. I've set up a whole thing.
Amber's right. It is kind of freaky.
No.
Don't trip out on it.
Well, no, I mean, think about it.
I've moved on, it's fine.
We're just like on the waves of oh. Devo, I'm going to have to redunk. Can I redunk real quick?
Devo comes over the radio. I am going to do a flip, so everybody hold on.
No, I got to go.
Hell yeah.
No, I have to stop.
Come on, ship birds, he's doing flips.
Guthrie goes to run out of the room. As he does, he shuts the moon pool, and he says, we have an ether shower in the crew quarters, by the way. You don't have to go outside the ship to get... Okay, I have to... And he takes off as the ship's yaw starts to adjust. Here, we are going to have our first random encounter. Anytime you all take a ship out of the city away on a mission, you will encounter something along the way. And maybe it's good. Maybe it's bad.
Like ice cream.
Maybe it's ice cream. Maybe.
Is it really random?
It is random. I have, inspired by the wild magic table that we used so many times from last season, I have prepared an enormous list of events that may transpire that you all are going to roll on a table to see what you get. You're going to roll a D.
I don't know what else you would roll on.
You're going to roll a spreadsheet table. Your ship has a stat. Well, it has many stats. So one of its stat is called readiness. This is a measurement of, as you might expect, how ready you are, how well equipped you are, how informed you are about the mission that you are on. Some, you know, modifiers are positive and some are permanent. Like Zooks, in your character sheet, you've chosen sort of, I forget the exact parlance, but you are an expert at
Mariner.
Mariner, at oceanic sort of environments. And the way that I have sort of included that here is just Zooks permanently adds +5 to readiness. That is a permanent thing for Zooks because he kind of knows his way around. This ship, Dreams of Deborah, has an improved crew quarters, so it gets a bonus there. The rations give you a bonus, other stuff you might have. I've also marked off -5 for inexperienced crew because the three of you have never gone on a mission before. So all of those different modifiers will total, you know, what the total readiness bonus is, and that is what you add to your D100 roll. Very low rolls will be catastrophic. Very high rolls could sort of permanently change your fortunes in this world. I'm going to say, Juice, why don't you make the first roll? To do this, yes. You click that die and click the two dice next to each other for a D100 roll. And we'll
as
see what happens.
Oldest brother and the best father among the four of us, as wow. I'm sure we've all recognized
okay.
him.
With excuse that, me?
Well, okay. You raised podcasters, bud. Calm down.
Yeah, man.
You did. You had three chances, and all you achieved was podcasting.
Not a lawyer or doctor or anything.
Yeah, not a single actual contribution.
I'm going to remind you of this conversation in 2041.
Right. One of us could have been an architect, something that contributed in some way.
Helpful to society.
We're the architect of incredible fantasy.
I am on Tinderhooks awaiting this D100 roll. I have been anticipating this
long time. Was us having fun playing the game, taking away from
yours? No, Travis, he's right. People come here for numbers.
Let's and this is going to be a big one, potentially.
It's a big, or a small I mean, one. Let's hope. Let's hope it's out of 100. Here we go.
Let's see. Oh my God.
Oh no.
You
that
are
doesn't seem,
fucking
that doesn't
kidding
seem
me.
Right. It doesn't seem right.
I was a six.
It's a six.
+9.
No, +8 is your readiness stat.
No, nine support. Is our readiness is 9.
Oh yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
And so that is a total of 15.
That feels low, Griffin.
It feels low. Out of 100, it feels low. If I got at 15 on a test, I think I would probably not feel good about myself.
It's not the end of the world, 15.
As a good father, I would still be proud of you, Justin.
Yeah, thanks, Dad. Presumably, 00 would be the end of the world, right?
Yeah, but exactly.
Griffin, you literally used the phrase catastrophic.
Catastrophic.
15 is not catastrophic. 15, we'll see what 15 does.
Let's see what 15 is.
Oh, it's ice cream.
These are meant to present you with opportunities and
for growth.
Foibles. Yes, opportunities.
And
pain
death.
Pain is weakness. Death is weakness, leaving the body, but in a big way.
All of it.
All of it. All the weakness.
All of it all at all once.
You, okay, you all have been in the ship sailing for a couple hours now. You are about halfway to this destination. Guthrie's got...
Before you say what the result is, yeah. I would like to do some kind of, like, investigation or perception or something to see if I can, like, get a better handle on controls in some way. Because right now I feel like I'm looking for buttons. I'm looking for switches. I'm looking for labels.
Yeah. I don't think you need to roll for that. I think that's something that is going to... You're not going to be able to master that in a couple hours, right?
Yeah.
I think that is just going to have to be a trial by fire thing.
Okay.
You all have been sailing for a while. Guthrie sort of knows exactly where to go. He's got beacons and maps, and it has been a bit, and you all are in a sort of cloudy part of the ether sea. You're sort of flying over this wide, hilly plain, and there's a lot of flora just sort of waving around in the currents underneath you. And Guthrie's up at the helm with you, Devo, and sort of helping you as you maneuver around these hills. And as you are doing that, Guthrie yells, stop. And he grabs the sphere and pulls it back, and the ship.
That was an incredible Griffin McElroy impression.
And he brings you all up to the viewport, and he points outside. He says, y'all see that? Y'all see that out there? You know what that is?
No.
He's pointing at this sort of enormous artichoke-looking plant that is right at the peak of one of these hills. He points at it, and he says, that's a yum nut.
This is a
impossible.
What? A what
impossible.
Did you say? What was this word?
It can't be that.
That's a yum nut. Big one, too.
I'm writing it down.
You're not going to remember it?
You're not going to remember yum nut?
No, I'm not going to let him fucking backpedal later and be like, it's actually pronounced yum-nut-te. It's like, no, actually, you said fucking yum nut. Have some strength of your convictions. Yum nut is what you put in your world. Our world, yum nut.
Could Zooks do a history check?
It wouldn't be history. It would be nature. Do a nature check.
Do a nature check.
You're pretty good at these. You have proficiency here. Yeah.
That is, no, apparently I'm not. That's an 8.
This is an easy one. Like, you don't know enough to know its value, although Guthrie seems excited by it. You know that a yum nut is a source of a spice that is highly coveted in Founder's Wake. Spices in general are, because salt is kind of like actual edible salt is tough to come by. So they need other ways of sort of flavoring their foods. And if you can get a yum nut and, you know, grate it down, one of this size can last you for a long time.
And the spice will roll.
So you don't necessarily know the best way to harvest it. You don't know exactly how much you'll be able to get for it, but you all do see a sizable yum nut. And he says, I mean, I know we got to hurry, but if we grab that, it's not that often that you see a yum nut of that size.
No, we got it, y'all. We got to get that yum nut. We could sell it to old Joshy for a pretty piece.
Okay. Then we grab it with the claw, and then we go. Yes?
We need to be pretty careful with it if we use the claw. The meat of the yum nut is pretty fragile.
How big is it?
Oh, good. Oh,
Jinx.
It's like 6 feet tall. It's big.
Could we just position the moon pool over it and lower?
Yeah, sure, you can. For all of these, you know, scenarios, I don't have a solution. The salvage claw is for sure a claw that drops down into the ocean and is meant to pick up, you know, scrap metal and stuff like that. So it you would need a pretty good roll to not damage the merchandise, but that would be the probably most straightforward way of doing it.
Since this is what we do, we just kind of float over and then we lower down and is inside the ship. You grab it.
Oh, you're talking about landing on top of this hill and like putting interesting. Yeah, I mean, you do have these permeable barriers, so that is an option.
And it is attached to something, correct?
Yeah, it's attached to the top of this hill.
Listen, I love the idea, but this is the first time not only that you've piloted a water vehicle, but actually been in the water.
Yes.
Do you feel pretty confident you could pull this off?
I have been driving now for several hours.
There's no shame in letting somebody else try.
I mean, do you want to try? Is this
absolutely not? I don't need that kind of pressure in my life.
Okay, well,
I'm just saying.
This is the way I see it. I'm not worried because if I damage this, as you say, yum nut, then we are no worse off than we were before we found the yum nut.
You know what? Can I say something, Guppy? That's pretty fucking zen. I'm into it.
Yes, I'm not worried about this. We get your ship, then we get to explore. We do not need the yum nut. We do not need whatever money the yum nut would bring us. We just need the ship, and we get to that with the art.
All right, you're starting to lose me with the accent a little
bit. Okay, yes, no, I get
that. That nut.
Yeah, let's get the nut.
All right.
And I think Zooks could dive down.
It doesn't sound like you will necessarily need to, depending on how this piloting goes. He's talking about...
No, I understand. Okay. I understand. But I mean, couldn't you use like maybe a spotter?
I mean, that's not a bad idea.
Yeah,
that's
sure.
To get another set of eyes out there.
And then it's
going
to have to be detached, so.
Yeah, okay. You want to start working on that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, let me, do we have any kind of tools or weapons? I don't think he necessarily has any kind of bladed.
Yeah, some sort of poke and stick.
You get
it.
A poke and stick?
Something.
A sword, a big old knife.
I think a knife is a reasonable, like, ships come equipped with the tools that you need to maintain them, just inherently. So, you know, there's probably a sharp.
We have a repair kit. So there's a saw in there or something.
So let's make this the first rule of Ether C. Everybody got a knife.
Everybody has at least one.
Everybody has a knife.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
At any point, you could be like, oh, I have a knife, because we're assuming that we're all chilling on places that have basically unlimited knives. So what I want the first rule of Ether C is everybody has a knife. Yeah.
Everybody.
Here's a,
okay. Everybody has one knife.
Everybody,
first rule of Ether C.
Everybody has a knife. If you, I will offer you this, Zooks. The repair kit in the cargo bay, you know, will have a like hacksaw, like a handsaw. That will be
is that rule two?
Not hacksaw Jim
not
Duggan.
Hacksaw
that
Jim Duggan.
Would be
it will have
extremely helpful.
It will be more helpful in harvesting this thing in a, you know, smooth and efficient manner, but it will cost you that repair kit, which essentially just makes it, you know, automatic to repair one broken.
Can I
system.
Just say, Griffin, thank you for bringing this up, because I hate every time I use a saw and when I finish the job, the saw falls apart.
Well, it's going to be covered in yum nut sap, which is extremely corrosive.
Yeah.
You don't have to take that off if you don't want to.
I don't
want
to. I think I'll just use a knife.
Okay.
I think Zooks will just use a big
just
old
your standard
knife.
Issue.
Even if the knife gets stuck on it, he just dunks that right in the ocean, leaves it there, gets
right.
another
gets
knife.
Right, another knife.
Everybody has
knives knife. Everywhere.
And okay, so Amber, where are you going to be during this operation?
I feel like probably, maybe spotting on the inside, like
sure.
as another set of eyes, because I'm not sure he would necessarily be able to monitor. You know, it's not like there's like cameras or whatever.
Right.
In this move is not
right.
a sanctioned yeah. activity. So I feel like having a spotter on the inside.
I like it. Yeah. This is a fun. This okay. is a fun way of doing this. Okay. Then Guthrie's going to stay at the helm with you, Devo. You are in control, but he is sort of trying to help any way that he can. So you lower the ship down fairly close. You're about, you know, 20, 30 feet up, and that's the closest I'll let you get without rolling for it. Zooks, are you tethering yourself in any way? Or are you just sort of free
no.
down there? No. Okay.
Uh-uh. No.
Uh-huh. Then you hop through the permeable barrier.
Zooks does a big old foon.
Yeah. What's it like for you underwater, Zooks? Because, you know, things are obviously different for the Brynar. You don't need a vapor suit or anything like that. Is it more comfortable for you in the Ether Sea than it is being?
Yeah, I think it's a lot more comfortable for Zooks.
Okay,
because I think he actually moves better,
right,
and moves faster. I think he would actually have more speed in the water,
okay.
and he certainly is you know. In choice that way his suit also is not, you know, just using the, it's sort of like when you're in a car and you got the air conditioner on and you have to flip the switch so it's air recirculating inside,
right, sure.
instead of the, so that's, I think that he loves it.
Okay.
In there. So
cool.
I think big foon splash down he goes.
And you slowly sort of float down to the top of this hill as you land some like of the, moss that had sort of collected next to this yum nut splashes up. And what are you doing? What are you trying to do here?
I think.
Can I ask? Sorry. Can I ask Griffin? Because this is our first time, like, in an undersea venture here.
Right.
What kind of light are we? Are there lights on the ship? Is there any light coming through the water?
That's a good question. Yeah. So there are lights on the ship. The water itself is bright. Like the water itself has a sort of luminousness to it, and it's different okay. concentrations in different places. This sort of wide arboreal plain that you're over, it's like daylight. Like you can see
okay,
you can
great.
See fairly well here.
Any of those starfish around?
No. Those seem to be weirdly congregated only around Founder's Wake.
Okay.
So Zooks.
I think now I'm assuming if I'm overstepping, please
sure,
tell
sure.
me. I assume they don't have person-to-person communication, right? We haven't really.
No, you don't have that right now.
So I would.
They can see you though through the moon pool.
Right. Okay. All right. I think Zooks is going to swim down to the base of the yum nut.
Okay.
It's the first time I've said it, and
yeah, it feels good, right?
Do do...
I'm worried about how normal it's becoming.
Right.
That's my only concern.
A perception check to kind of look and see, you know, about how it's connected to the hill, the mountain?
This would be an investigation check.
Okay. Investigation check. Double digits would be nice for a change.
That would be good to see.
17.
Yeah. Okay. It is...
That's the sound of Griffin being surprised that Dad didn't fail. Oh, okay.
Oh, what do you know?
It is, with an investigation check like that, you see that there are basically just roots that are jutting. You dust away some of this moss that had grown on this hill. And as you clear the moss, you see it's like a kind of a rocky hill that the roots of this thing have grown into sort of small holes on this hill. And it seems like it would be easier to cut through those smaller roots than it would through like the trunk of the yum nut. So you figure that that's probably the easiest way to dislodge this whole thing.
So Zooks heads up to the moon pool, sticks his hat out of the water and speaks to Amber, says, I think it's possible. I think I can start getting it loose. There's a lot of baby roots. Baby roots.
Baby grooves.
There's not little candy bars or whatever. And then, you know, we're off the races. I just wanted to tell you what I was doing to make sure it was okay with you.
All right. Go for it.
Great. See ya. Swims back down. And I think when he touches the yum nut, he gets this, you know, with his telepathy, gets just like a real weird, you know, that's how he communicates, is with a very, very rudimentary kind of contact telepathy.
Okay.
I mean, that's the only way I can think.
Yeah, I mean, we haven't really talked about how Brynar talk. I like it.
And so I think when he gets down amongst those baby roots, and he gets the knife out to start prying, he puts his hand on the base of the yum nut and just gets this really awful feeling. Like, it's sickening. Like, it's not pleasant.
Roll a wisdom check.
17.
Good rolls, Dad.
Thanks.
Okay. We'll sit on that. That 17, you are making short work of these baby roots, and you do feel this sympathetic wave of emotion that is very strong, and it is one of almost of shock and surprise. Devo, you Yes. are at the helm, and Guthrie is saying, okay, I cannot stress this enough, like you're petting the smallest, sickest kitten with some sort of like bone illness that is afraid.
I understand you are making me nervous, and nervous will not help. I need to be relaxed. Just let me do this. Why are you making a big deal out of this yum nut?
They taste so good.
Okay.
I'll give you space to work. He takes a step back.
Thank you. So how do I...
Can Brynar eat?
They can.
They can. There's a hole for that.
Wait a minute. Rule number two of Ether C.
There's a hole for that.
Yep. There's a hole for that. Okay, what do I need to roll and do? And
so when you are piloting the ship, there is a single stat that you will use, and that is the speed stat, which is determined by the, you know, propulsion engine of your ship. That is a sort of static modifier here. So you can see for Dreams of Deborah, the speed is a +6. So
okay,
you just roll a d20. And we'll add 6, and you'll use that stat for a few things, but for right now, it's basically seeing if you can, you know, accomplish this maneuver of lowering the ship down.
Before I roll.
Yes?
With the guidance coming from Amber in the moon pool and Zooks on the ground, do I have advantage? How does that benefit me?
I will, you don't have I'll give you a plus two. I'll give you your proficiency bonus on the roll.
Okay.
So it's plus eight total, whatever you roll.
All right, that is a 16.
Okay.
Plus six, plus two, so a 24.
Okay, you bring this thing down so easy. There's not necessarily landing gear, but like pegs can pop out of the bottom of the ship to offer sort of different different platforms for it to sit on to keep it, you know, flat, keep it horizontal.
It's like one of those toys you can push your hand into. And it makes
yes, it's exactly like one of those pin face toys. And so you bring the ship down and Zook's like, I think it's so smooth, in fact, that you don't even notice as the moon pool kind of falls around you. And now the top of this hill that has the yumnut on it is inside of the ship. And Amber, you see as water is now kind of rolling off of Zook's and the yumnut. Zook's, give me a sleight of hand roll as you sort of continue cutting through this thing.
I knew the good times would stop. That's a five.
Okay. You are trying to sever the roots and you're...
Well, I think he's been trying to like pry them up.
Yeah,
with the
sure.
Knife.
That's fair. Yeah, no. you are prying through the roots, and you're about halfway through. And Amber, you can sort of see the yumnut start to wobble a little bit, and your knife, Zooks, it slips as you are trying to pry through a particularly tricky root, and it goes into a crack in the rock below, and the ground shakes when you do that. And from the helm, Devo, you see a lot of the arbor in the ground start to shift, and you see just a cloud, a swarm of moss and grimy debris starts to float upwards. And from the ground, Devo, you see a long figure lift itself up, and then it curves backwards. And as it does, all of the growth just sort of sloughs off of it. And as this figure turns towards you, you realize that it is the face of an enormous, monstrous turtle. And unfortunately, this yumnut was growing right on its back.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned. Audience supported.
Hey, I'm Jordan Morris, creator of the Max Fun scripted sci-fi comedy podcast, Bubble. We just released a special episode of Bubble to celebrate the launch of our new graphic novel. At SF Sketchfest in 2019, we recorded a live show with Allison Becker, Eliza Skinner, Mike Mitchell, Cristela Alonzo, and special guests Jean Grey, Jonathan Colton, Jesse Thorne, Nick Weiger, and a bunch of other cool folks.
We suspect he'll show signs of mutation when in a state of excitement. Now, Annie matched with him on Tinder, so she's going to act as the honeypot.
I do enjoy being called a honeypot.
Hey, you know what's better than honey? Gravy.
Oh, yeah, can I be the gravy sack?
Out now on MaximumFun.org and wherever you get podcasts. And pick up the graphic novel at your local bookstore today.